about them Irish.
I can't take it anymore. I need a national championship.
This is the Four Horsemen Podcast.
What the fuck is a Buckeye? That is, without question, the worst and dumbest team name in college athletics. I'm Dylan, joined by Steve. Welcome to the Four Horsemen Podcast, episode 100. It's Ohio State week. Notre Dame beat the living breaks off of CMU, even though we didn't cover, disappointingly, to my betting fortunes. But it's a big win anyway. We head into the big game. Steve, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking right now? Are you in a glass case of emotion? Because I feel like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of just, it doesn't feel real. Doesn't feel real that we're getting to this point, and it's almost because of that, because it's so surreal. It almost induces a sense of calming. I've never been this calm leading up to a big game that I'm excited for, right? And I think that's because we've seen the last 4 weeks now a competent offense averaging 509 yards a game, a legitimate elite quarterback that can go through more than two reads before, you know, sprinting down the field like a chicken with his head cut off. You know, a vertical passing game, a dominating rushing game, and then, you know, the defense just being what it has been since basically 2017. So, you know, we've talked about all the pieces kind of fitting together, and, you know, there's certainly concerns which we'll cover, but no, it doesn't feel like we're the chippy underdog. It just feels like, we're the big swinging hog coming in, you know?
I have a theory on that, Steve.
Yeah, let's let it rip, brother.
Because this is the first time we've played this caliber of important game against a high-ranking team, going into the game knowing that we're the better team and knowing we should win this game. This is the first time I think I could say this in my life as a Notre Dame fan heading into a ranked matchup, a top-ranked matchup. I feel like in other games we've mostly lost but sometimes have won, it always felt like Notre Dame could win the game, right? We could beat Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
We could beat Alabama, although that never was the case. With this game, like last year even, I felt like we could beat Ohio State last year. This year, I'm going into this game thinking if we don't win this game, it's a disappointment. You know, we're technically an underdog, but the line has moved tremendously. There's no question which team has looked better through the first 3 to 4 games of the season. There's no question which team has the better quarterback. There's no question which team has the better offensive line. There's no question which team has the better secondary, dare I say. You know, I know Ohio State likes to think they're DBU, but not this year. And it's home field advantage. Well, you know, we'll get into the specifics of the game, but I feel like Notre Dame's the better team. And it's the first time I can confidently say that, I think, ever watching Notre Dame play a highly ranked matchup. And I think that's the difference. I feel calm too. I feel like the fan base feel calm. If anything, I've been seeing a little bit of nerves on the other side with the trash talking. So yeah, that's just where I'm at. What do you think of that idea? Is that possibly up?
No, that does make a lot of sense, because even going back to 2019 Georgia, didn't they competed, they didn't win the national championship in 19, you know, January of 20, but they competed in that playoff, did they not?
I'm not sure. They definitely did in 2017. That was the year they lost to Alabama in overtime, the year they beat us at Notre Dame Stadium.
So 2017, the year right. We lost at Notre Dame Stadium with that ridiculous one, you know, one-handed catch in the end zone by, I forget his name, but whatever. Yeah, that was a one-score game against a SEC powerhouse that, you know, lost the national title in that year just barely. I mean, there's no way that Tua should have been able to throw that wide open of a pass, but neither here nor there. Basically, we were in that game competing with a team that we know is worse than the team we currently have. That was an inexperienced Ian Book. Was that not like him, Ian Book, sophomore year?
No, that was Brandon Wimbush still. He hadn't been pulled from the...
Yeah.
As the starting. Actually, that was 2018 that Book got a start anyway. So, no, even 2019 they played with Book. Yeah. But yeah, I've never felt like we should have won either of those games.
Yeah. But yeah. So, even more to the point, like just not even as good of a QB as Book, who, you know, was very good, but also had his limitations as compared to Sam Hartman. So, it's like you look at these things, and Notre Dame has always played home games in the regular season extremely tight, you know, historically. Even when we've been outmatched and outclassed, and we've risen to the occasion on a bunch of them. So, we play well at home. That's the first benefit that we have. Second benefit is, we're stronger in almost every aspect, but especially at the quarterback position, which is the game breaker. And it just feels like we're catching OSU in one of those, you know, middling transition years where, of course, there's still going to be a 10-11 win football team. And there's a very real possibility that OSU would win this game. But yeah, no, I think you're right. It's just like in the games in the past, it was always could, but now it's should. And that's a very distinct, like it almost comes, carries a weight with it where it's like, no, not only is it a should, but I want to beat the fucking brakes off them. I want to show them the pain and the sorrow and the sadness and the despicable life that it's been for me over the last 20 fucking years of this stupid program and all the big game heartache and all that. I want this team to just take that out on Ohio State, because if I just want to dominate them, I think we could. I do think this will be a one possession game. Probably it comes down to the final possession, but wouldn't it be nice? And it's within the realm of possibility. And wouldn't it be nice to win this game by 21?
Definitely. Right?
Like that would be just an absolute, you know, that's a huge, I don't know. I can't even conceptualize that as an Notre Dame fan. So yeah, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I think we should maybe put a pin in it and circle back at the end to Ohio State. Let's maybe cover Central Michigan, since we didn't even release a podcast last week. We just got busy, guys. Sorry. It was also Central Michigan. So, you know, any school in Michigan doesn't deserve our attention. Yeah, let's talk about that game. 41-17 Irish. Yeah, what are your thoughts on it? Were you happy with the Peacock experience?
No, Peacock is obviously subpar. It's just... they're really not giving me much incentive at all to keep my subscription. Like, I've kept it since the last game, right? I've gone straight through, and they have some good series and some good movies and stuff, but it's just like, if I could go without paying however much money in this economy, I could go without paying however much money it is for those shows and the movies. When I can just rent it one time a year to watch this dog shit, like what a bad product they put on the field.
Yeah, I mean,
broadcast more accurately.
I got Fighting Irish TV for free as an international viewer, which is like the first time they've done something nice like that for their international fans. So I get every home game streaming for free, which I guess is kind of like Peacock in a way. Yeah, big win. Estimate just... Oh, God. 170 yards. I saw a stat today that he's averaging like somewhere between 4 and 5 yards per carry after contact.
Yeah,
that is a statistic most running backs would take outright, regardless of contact. Just 4 to 5 yards per carry. He's doing it after the contact. That's nuts.
He's the human embodiment of a freight train. There's no stopping him, dude.
No, and the offensive line's been doing a great job giving him space for him to break through. I mean, we've seen it again, you know, 2 weeks in a row now of long, I mean, it's probably been every week, but like these huge long breakout runs. He's got speed. I mean, he's gonna probably do more for his draft stock this year than anyone else on the team. I mean, we know he's always been an NFL caliber player, but I think people in the draft world are gonna see this season and be like, yeah, that's one of the handful of best running backs you could draft in this class. I think Estime is everything we could have hoped for and more. And when you pair that with Sam Hartman, Sammy Heisman with another great week, with that offensive line, with the weapons, I mean, the tight ends breaking out, Holden stays. We didn't see Mitchell Evans yet last week, but, you know, he's been doing a great job in the block game. It's just, it's different level. It's just a different offense. I don't know if I've seen an offense this good since Jimmy Clausen is probably what you're looking at. I mean, the Chip Long had one good year there, but even that, I never felt the offense was this dangerous. And defensively, we'll see this week how good they really are. I feel like it's just been penalties that's been hurting them. And if they can get that under wrap, which I think they should for a big game, I don't think they're going to allow, the refs will allow the calls to get that one-sided like it's been the last few weeks in terms of penalty yardage. We'll see, but I'm feeling good. This is one of the best Notre Dame teams, if not the best team I've seen, but we'll see this week. This is the big test.
Yeah. I mean, so we had two punts on the day and one missed field goal. So those were the only three drives that we didn't score. You know, other than that, obviously, I don't know, handful of touchdowns and then, you know, two pretty big kicks made by Spencer Schrader. So, you know, kind of shout out to him, and he just missed making his third kick from like what, 59 yards, came up like a yard short maybe. So that also gives me a lot of confidence that all you have to do, if you're Sam Hartman and you're down by three, or if you're down by, you know, 2 points, and, you know, you get the ball back with what, 30 seconds left, 45 seconds left, all you need to do is get the ball to the 40 yard line to give yourself a chance. You don't have to get the ball down to the 30. Like, you're saving yourself an extra couple yards because you have such a big leg. So again, that's just instilling more confidence in the group. Okay. Yeah. One of the downsides, the rush defense, for Notre Dame, like they were giving up, some chunk plays here and there. They had, you know, their running backs went 12 for 59 and 9 for 56. So over 100 yards combined from the running backs, and they were averaging 4.9 and 6.2 respectively, with long runs of 19 and 25. So yeah, people were concerned about that. And yeah, that is a bit concerning because, you know, this week you're going to be going up against, you know, a team that, in the second half of last year, you know, we saw kind of Mayan Williams running downhill and really starting to take control of the game late, when the game was in the shoe. So, yeah, put a pin in that. Like, defensive line needs to step up their rush defense, but their pass rush has still been great. So,
they're getting pressure.
Yeah. Tons of pressure. They only got to the quarterback two times. But you know, they played a really good game. They scored, they were efficient. They didn't let this, you know, even going up in halftime, only up by 7 points, they still just absolutely choked them out to death slowly in the second half. We were like a boa constrictor. And that's the difference between a Marcus Freeman team and a Brian Kelly team.
Yeah, the adjustments were great. They were money, lights out in the second half. I would say the loss of JD Bertrand for that week probably played a big role in CMU getting a lot of rushing yards. I think just not just the athleticism and the player that you're getting, who, you know, he's been good for a while, but he's really taken a step up this year, but also the leader, right? He's the play caller. He's the quarterback on the defense. He's the communicator. So losing that is tough. And I think that probably played a big factor. I mean, I like Jack Kaiser and all. I think he's a great player, but, you know, he was just asked to do a little bit of a different role this week. So getting JD back, because I think we expect him to be back for the Ohio State game, that'll be huge. That's probably the biggest thing we could have hoped for in terms of injuries so far, but we've been really lucky in terms of injuries. Offensive line's been completely healthy, which is huge for us. I think that's it. I'm not worried about the defense, and I also think Notre Dame has the ability, if they want to either shut down the run or the pass, meaning if they decide, listen, Travion Henderson is not beating us Saturday like they did in 2020 with ETN, they could just say beat us in the air and have it be one-on-ones, which they couldn't do last year. With C.J. Stroud and those receivers, you couldn't do that last year. And the one time they did that was a blitz from Al Golden, which changed the game entirely, which is where Ohio State scored their touchdown. So I think they'll be fine next week. That secondary is just outrageous. I don't need to tell you guys that. If you're a Notre Dame fan listening, you have eyes. You've seen what we've seen. if you're an Ohio State fan listening, I know you got good receivers. I know you have really good receivers. Don't get me wrong. But this Notre Dame secondary is just different. And receivers will get open eventually. You got to get home to the quarterback. Again, we'll talk about Ohio State, but the secondary's money, man. They are so good.
They are. Speaking of the secondary, I'm going to quickly buzz through the four horsemen just to get through the...
Let's get through Central Michigan. We keep both trying to get to Ohio State, so let's...
Exactly. I mean, that's because we're so excited. Yeah. I'm going to buzz through real quick. Then we're going to... I'll turn over to you to go through the, start us off on the college landscape discussion and kind of move forward here. But speaking of the secondary, Thomas Harper, he's one of the four horsemen, had himself a day, did have the sack, fumble, couple of huge hits, four tackles total. A sack, tackle for loss. So congratulations, Harper. Tobias Merriweather, he finally broke out the big one. That's the speed, that's the big play and the big frame that we're looking for him to get downfield and take the boundary position to kind of the next level. So two catches, 81 yards, including that 75-yard touchdown reception. Audric Estime, what else is there to say about him? 8.8 yards per carry, long of 41. 20 carries, 176 yards and a touchdown, and literally like 100 meter dash hurdles, like jumped over defenders two times on the same drive with like absolute perfect picturesque form. Not only is he a bowling ball, but he's also extremely agile and just a terrifying person to try to tackle. So good luck, because as you see, even if you go at his knees, you're not going to get him. And then obviously we just got to give it to Sammy Heisman, 330 yards, three touchdowns, nice and clean. So, and great body control as some dickhead defensive lineman lunged at his knees and gator rolled him and could have potentially blown his ACL and ruined our entire year. And I would have, I'm not going to complete that sentence for the sake of the FBI that's listening in on this, but, because it didn't happen. We're good. He's healthy. Great body control by Hartman to get out of that and then live to see another day. So that, Central Michigan, you're in the pass and stay in the pass. Get the hell out of here. You and your dog shit state and everything else in it. Let's move on to the college football landscape. Dylan, it was there was some huge games that happened. Looked like there were there some upsets. I mean, Alabama almost lost. That's the very notable one connected to Notre Dame. But what did you see around college football this past week? And what were your instant reactions to it?
Yeah, I think almost upset is the story of the week. Florida State escaped Boston College. And anytime I see Boston College play a ranked team in the top five, I just get PTSD. Even though I didn't live through the Boston College upsets, I get secondhand PTSD for another team. That's how bad it is. But Florida State pulled through. Travis got hurt for a bit, but came back. Penn State let Illinois hang in there for a bit, but they put him away at the end. Penn State looks good, but I also expected them to look good. So we'll keep an eye on them. Oklahoma took care of business. They've been pretty quietly taking care of business this year. I could see them maybe creeping back up. Georgia, South Carolina, they were down big in that game for a while. Well, big relative to Georgia, 14-3.
Yeah.
But they came away and shut down South Carolina. I had a funny feeling South Carolina was going to give them trouble. I actually considered putting money on the money line. No, sorry, not the money line, but the spread, because they were big underdogs. But yeah, that's it for the SEC. I think Georgia got their job done.
Future SEC.
Right, we'll get there.
Yeah, no, Texas was tied 10-10 heading into the fourth quarter against vaunted Wyoming, that powerhouse. They did obviously score 21 unanswered to win the game 31-10, but Texas has not been super impressive. Florida State has not been super impressive. So those are two teams I see a loss in. And you look at the college football playoff implications, it's like, okay, well maybe, maybe we're going to have an easy time even with Notre Dame going 11-1. If that were to be, an outcome, we're obviously hoping for 12-0 though. Michigan State, that program's dead. Sorry, guys. Adios.
Washington looks good.
Kansas State lost. They got upset with Missouri. The 61-yard kick to win the game. I have to give that guy a shout-out for the sake of P-Wagon, the special team specialist. And
there was one big upset in the SEC. That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, I'll let you go for it.
Florida, the Gators, the horrible, horrible Gators, as everybody says this year, which they're not good, but they've been beaten up on a little bit. Beat, kind of convincingly, in my opinion, Tennessee, 29-16. I thought it was worse than the score actually indicates. Florida looked so comfortably better in that game. Tennessee turns out to be fraudulent. Who could have seen that coming except every other fucking year of data? What people say Notre Dame is what Tennessee actually is. Like, Tennessee has had one good season since I've been a college football fan, I think, and it was last year. With the exception of last year, Tennessee has been perennially overrated and end up losing to teams that, you know, like Florida, who really got beat convincingly by Utah, who didn't even have their starting quarterback. Tennessee, you're done. See ya. But yeah, that was about it. Michigan struggled for a bit, but then put Bowling Green away. Oregon also, like Washington, has looked great this year. They blew out Hawaii. And Colorado State took Colorado to double overtime. P-Wagon has got a lot to say about Deion Sanders, so I'm not even going to. I'm just going to let him, through our Twitter account, say what he's got to say. But Colorado's luck is about to come up, as we'll get into this week. So yeah, that was the week of college football. Things look like the Pac-12 and Notre Dame right now are the best teams in college football. Big Ten's hanging in there, and the SEC's having a rough one. So yeah, interesting start to the season.
Closing thought here, I mean we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Reese Buckner. Do we call this a debacle at this point?
Yeah, I don't know if it's Reese or Buckner's fault. I think the Alabama offensive line has been no bueno. But yeah, there's let's call it a little bit of drama, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, Buckner, he's already lost his start. You know, Milroe is back to being the starter for the next game, which stinks. You know, I'll be honest with you, man. I did want Tyler Buckner to find success, and I was really excited for him to get that start. And you know, I wanted to see him, you know, get his chance, and unfortunately he's not. And
to be fair, he had to go up against a vaulted Southern Florida defense.
Yeah, it's just, you know, such a astronomically talented guy coming out of high school that he got fucked by injuries, he got fucked by COVID. I mean, we saw the best of him in the South Carolina game, in the bowl game last year. The best and the worst. You know, he had, what, two pick sixes? And he certainly had his bad moments, but he also had great moments. And it's like, what? I mean, Alabama didn't really set him up for success. Their offensive line is not playing well at all, which is great news for the rest of the world, because now Alabama's starting to look human, and like that can create a power vacuum really quick. But I do wish Reese success in his career. You know, he's a Notre Dame guy. Don't like how he went out, but hey, at the end of the day, if someone offers you astronomical amounts of money to go and presumably compete for national championships, you take it. It is what it is. And then with Buckner, wish he would have stayed, got one more year, you know, learning under Hartman, and then came back. But he took his path, and I wish him success. It sucks for the kid, because we saw somebody's NFL dreams literally die 48 hours ago.
Well, let's not go too far with it. I mean, I still have hope he can, you know, have a good season. He's got lots of eligibility left. You know, I'm
rooting for him.
Yeah, I don't think we need to have a wake for Tyler Buckner's career yet, or Tommy Reese. But yeah, it's rough right now, and Alabama isn't a school that has as much patience as Notre Dame, just because they haven't had to struggle like Notre Dame has. They're used to winning championships every year, so that's the standard. And no doubt, Buckner and Reese, particularly Reese, are going to get the bulk of that criticism. But the offense wasn't the problem against Texas; their defense was. So I'm not going to say it was the wrong move to hire Reese and taking Buckner was the wrong. I'm not going to say any of that because I don't necessarily believe it. I think, you know, we'll see. It's still early. I wish them the best as well. But yeah, it's definitely a talking point. Hasn't looked good so far. And Notre Dame has come out the biggest winner again. You know, Freeman has done such a great job. Jared Parker has been almost perfect, I'd say. Because you can always nitpick play calls. But from what we've got from Jared Parker this year, that's been such a huge upgrade. And I don't mean that as a diss to Tommy Reese. I just think this year it's clicked. So, yeah, it's a great point to bring that up. And also to, you know, reinforce the idea. I know you believe this, but it's important, I think, for Notre Dame fans to hear, too, that, you know, once a domer, always a domer. And I don't wish for the negativity or for poor outcomes for those guys at all. So I don't cheer for Alabama, but I'm not taking joy in this either.
For sure. So, I mean, that's a decent kind of recap of the games this past Saturday and the kind of the college football landscape as a whole. We'll put a bow on everything here by buzzing through really quickly with some picks. We got six games on the docket this week, and we'll buzz through them quick, and then ultimately we'll move on to the big one. So we'll start 12 o'clock noon.
For the audience's sake, anytime we say we are going to go through something quick, it's never quick.
We're trying.
Bear with us.
The intent is there.
Don't get their expectations up. Let's just say it's going to take long and then do it quick and then they'll be happy with us.
Yeah. We just incepted people's brains in real time. They're listening to this like not even understanding what the fuck's happening. So,
and we're not this out either. That's
yeah. Oh, state. No, leave it in. 100%. Okay. So 12 o'clock noon, Florida State, number 4 ranked program on the road in Clemson. I'm rooting for Clemson in this game. I don't know what the spread is. Do you have a spread on that?
Yeah, from what I was seeing just from the Score app, so just letting you guys know where my source is, I think it was 2. Yeah, the point is it's -2, so Florida State is favored to win by 2 points, which really means a 5-point swing because Clemson's at home. But still, that's a tight line. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I'm inclined to go with the underdog here, and it's partly because I'm rooting for it to happen, just like kind of trying to will it into existence, but I think Clemson comes out the victors.
Yeah, I think you stole my thunder there. I was going to take Clemson as well. I'm a little surprised that the line is only 2, just because everybody seems to be dancing on Clemson's grave and also anointing Florida State national champions. But the performance last week probably against Boston College changed people's minds there. I just think, like I said, I've said this the other week too when they beat LSU. I think Florida State is really good this year. I just think they're getting overrated. And I think we're going to maybe see it a bit this game. I think Clemson's going to win. And I think Clemson will surprise some people too. I don't think Clemson is nearly as bad as people expect them to be. I have them ranked pretty high in my third of the ballot. I put them, I think, around 18. So yeah, I'm taking the Tigers at home, but that's going to be a banger of a game.
Yeah. I certainly agree. I just think that the Clemson defense is going to be too much for Jordan Travis, frankly. Moving on, we have a couple of games at the 3:30 slate, starting with ABC, 3:30 p.m., number 19 Colorado, the hottest team, quote-unquote, in sports right now that everyone's talking about, visits the Oregon Ducks up in Eugene. This game is going to be on ABC. Dylan, the line and your pick.
Okay, let me take a look at the line here. So we're taking you. Boy, I'm almost more intrigued by the over-under. The line is 21 for Oregon, which is both high and not high enough. And then the over under for this game is 71.5 points to be scored. That is pretty crazy. I'll be short with this one. I'm taking the Ducks and I'm taking them big.
I'm taking the Ducks and I'll take the under on that line. Cause I just don't foresee Colorado scoring that much against, Oregon's defense. They're just too good. So, Yeah, especially with Travis Hunter out. Sorry, kid, but you know, I mean, that was a total cheap shot and total bullshit. Shedeur Sanders, very talented quarterback. I don't think he's been tested, at least to this degree yet. And you know, it's going to be a tough atmosphere. So, yep, I would hammer that -21 on the Ducks. Next up, we have Dante Moore, one time. I'm not sure if he ever committed to Notre Dame, but he was crystal balled there at the very least. So
not publicly.
Yeah, so a silent commit to Notre Dame that eventually, you know, flipped around to a couple of different places before landing in Los Angeles. Him and his number 22 ranked UCLA Bruins are on the road at Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City, taking on the Utah Utes. This is at 3:30 p.m. on Fox. Dylan, the line and your pick.
The line is 4 points in favor of Utah, and my pick, at least, is I don't know if you want it, the over/under. I just found the last one interesting.
No, but that's fine.
My answer depends on the quarterback. If Cameron Rising is playing, I'm going to take Utah to win big. If he isn't playing, it's a little tougher because Utah hasn't looked great, but I've given them a pass because they're without their quarterback. That defense is good. Don't get me wrong. But I like UCLA, man. I've been high on them. I've had them in my top 25 since the preseason. I feel very justified in that. I feel like only now people are kind of coming around to them. And even if they lose this week, I still think they're a top 25 team. But yeah, I'll take UCLA if Rising is not playing. And if he is playing, I'll take Utah.
I'm taking UCLA regardless. I just think that Utah, you know, Dante Moore, he looks more and more like the real deal every single week. So, you know, it does kind of stink that Notre Dame missed out on that talent, but hey, as of Deuce Knight's commitment just earlier today, you know, there's plenty of reinforcements coming at the Notre Dame quarterback position in the future. So we're totally fine with that. Yeah, UCLA Bruins are going to take that, in my opinion. Next game we have, this will be CBS. It is going to be in the SEC. It's number 15 Ole Miss Rebels on the road in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, taking on the Crimson Tide. Jaden Milroe has been announced the starting quarterback. So going back to what they started the season with, and where they only ended with 20 something points against that Texas team, in their loss. So, Dylan, what's the line or the spread rather, and then what's your pick here?
Well, so what I was going to say, Steve, is you take a guess at what the spread is, because that's always, I find, a good game of determining value on whether or not you should bet something. Like, what do you think it should be, and then what is it in reality?
Wow, that's a great question. So
you're the odds maker here. What are you putting it on?
I would give Alabama 2.5.
Okay.
I would make sure I'd say Alabama would be 2.5 point favorites, but in this case, I think that it's going to be Ole Miss -4.5.
No, so Alabama is favored, and they're favored by 7.
Wow.
Which seems really high to me because, if this game was in Mississippi, I think Ole Miss wins by like several hundred touchdowns because their offense has been lights out for so long. And I love it, but it's in Tuscaloosa. I still think Ole Miss is going to win, although I can see Alabama winning. I'm not going to discount Alabama. I just think Ole Miss is a good team. That's where I am with it. I think Ole Miss is a very underrated SEC team. So I'll take the Rebels. What about you?
Man, we're taking all the same picks this week. So yeah, I agree. I'm going with Ole Miss. I think this is the year that Bama has 3, possibly 4 losses on the schedule. And especially after last week, they just look like a team that's currently lost. They are going through it. So
Here's a question for you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm totally cutting you off here, but it just came to my head and I think it's a good idea. Is Alabama in the SEC championship game this year representing the SEC West? Yes or no?
No, LSU.
You think it's LSU? Okay, fair enough. I'll also say no, but I don't know if it's LSU. But I think it might be Ole Miss. But interesting, this will be the first time, I wouldn't say in a long time because it does happen every now and then, but Alabama is usually the team coming out of the SEC West. So yeah. Super interesting.
I think it's LSU, but I think LSU goes 9-3.
Yeah, that, but I could see that.
But that's the thing, is I feel like there's a total power vacuum right now going on, where, you know, there's really no clear cut top dog, and they're going to self cannibalize. I think that, yeah, like you said, there's going to be whole bunch, you know, Ole Miss is going to make some noise. They're probably an 8-4 or 9-3 team, but I think, you know, it, depending on scheduling, if they do play LSU, I think LSU beats them straight up, especially if that game's in Baton Rouge. But we promised we'd go about this quickly, so I'm going to keep going.
I told you not to make promises.
Oh, shush you. So at 7 p.m., the game coming up on Fox, very interesting. DJ Ugungalale and the number 14 ranked Oregon State Beavers are on the road at Wazoo, Washington State Cougs. Yeah, Dylan, spread and pick for this one.
2.5 for the Oregon State Beavers. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, I figured that they would probably be favored going into this, but I thought, yeah, well, maybe within 3 to 4 points of a spread, yeah.
This team beat Wisconsin, this Wazoo. And you know what? They're going to beat Oregon State. I'm taking the underdog, the home underdog here. I like Oregon State. I like DJ in that system. But I just got a feeling about Wazoo. I don't know why. This is, by the way, the 2024 Pac-12 championship game, I hear. They just play each other 12 times. Oh, I feel so bad for them. But yeah, I'm going to take Wazoo. Can't go wrong either way. Bless both programs. Love you both. But
I am really intrigued by that pick. But in the interest of not picking every single game with you, I'm going to take the Beavs on this one. So DJU goes into hostile territory, comes out with a win, puts his team on the map, possibly in the top 10 after this game.
Possibly, yeah, especially after Ohio State falls 20 spots. But
exactly. After a blowout. And speaking of blowouts, we're going to go on to number 24, Iowa, on the road in Happy Valley. They're taking on the Penn State Nittany Lions. A Nittany Lion doesn't exist. That's a figment of your imagination. But at 7:30 p.m. on CBS, that's when this game is going to air. Dylan, line and pick, and why is it that you believe that Penn State's going to blow the doors off of Iowa?
Man, it's really hard not to make a joke right now about Penn State and things not existing or not wanting them to exist. part of me wonders if you threw that in there on purpose. I'll tell you what, if this game's played in the state of Iowa, the Hawkeyes, I think, win. I have a friend. What do they say? The friend of mine, a house of horrors is what they've described Kinnick. Yeah, Penn State will win, but there's not even a line on the score app. It just says NA. So they're expecting Penn State to win big. I like Penn State, but I've liked Penn State all year, and I think people are starting to overrate them just a little bit. And this is someone who's been on Team Penn State for this year. But yeah, I like Iowa too. I just, Happy Valley is also a nightmare to play in. It's a night game. I'll take the Lions.
Yeah, Penn State, I think, may just end up being the Big Ten champions. Not sold on Michigan. Yep. I don't see Ohio State getting to the college football playoff with two losses. One of them coming this Saturday, and the other in the conference title game, or against Michigan rather, and then Michigan's going to get beat by Penn State at some point.
I agree. I think Penn State beats Michigan at home. I think Michigan probably beats Ohio State at home, and I think Ohio State probably beats Penn State at home. But we'll see. That's just been my prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But yeah, I see Penn State at this point on the inside looking out of the playoffs. I think they have they have an inside track, so they're not going to do that by losing at home to Iowa, a team that has to incentivize or fire their offensive coordinator, depending on whether or not he can average 25 points per game. So they good luck, Iowa. I mean, it would be a pleasant upset if it happens. I don't foresee it happening. That's it. That's the podcast. Everyone have a good day. No, just screwing with you. We are on to the biggest game in modern Notre Dame history. That's something that I posited on the Twitter account earlier today. And Dylan, this is a quick discussion I wanted to have with you before we got into the nitty gritty of the Ohio State game. I think that this is the biggest game in modern Notre Dame history, and I'll tell you why. You know, obviously up to this point, it would have been 2012 Alabama. We know how that ended. And, you know, for we did still have a good recruiting class in that year, but we still were never able to build up to what we wanted. Then in 2016, there was the Florida State game. Were we undefeated going into that game? We lost on the that bullshit pick play. And then ultimately, what did we go, like 7-5 that season? So it just turned everything all around. And just felt like if we could have pulled that win off, maybe there's some sort of magic where, again, we build our resume and really build a great team there. Never came to fruition. We know how, you know, the games against Georgia were in, what was it, 17 and 19. We know how the playoffs ended in 19 and 21. And then, you know, I guess the win against Clemson in 2020 with COVID is certainly, you know, that was a seeming turning point for this program. But then again, you know, people always have that in the back of their mind. Well, you know, it was DJU. It wasn't Trevor Lawrence, so people always put an asterisk on that with COVID. So with Brian Kelly departing and us still having a hyper-competitive program, with the fact that we've done an incredible job recruiting over the last couple of years and it's only getting better, to the point where we have an opportunity to be 5-0 with a win at home against a historical blue blood powerhouse program, especially powerhouse in the last 15 to 20 years. There's going to be a ton of recruits, you have to imagine, coming in. And this is the game where I think this could potentially be very quickly in Marcus Freeman's career, his marquee game. This could be it. This could put him on the map. Now, if they lose, Marcus Freeman's still a great coach. The program is still in a great place. Don't get me wrong. It's just going to be a continuous build from where we were to where we need to get to. If we win, this is the amalgamation of everything that we've been working for: recruiting, coaching staff, training, Matt Bayless and his program. You know, he's obviously no longer with the program, but like the strength and conditioning program that he's put in. You know, these guys and all the work that they've put in, to get to this point, all those playoff appearances, still putting this program on the map, although those games didn't go the way that we wanted them to. I just think if Notre Dame comes out, and especially if they can win by like 10 points or more, making it a statement win saying, oh no, we're not Brian Kelly's Notre Dame anymore. We're here and we're here to fucking dominate. I think that sends shockwaves through a college football landscape that, as we discussed with the faltering of Alabama, with Georgia looking like it's in a bit of a transition year with Carson Beck and you know, they lost so much talent at the draft. There is a vacuum of for power in college football in this landscape. And if you can come out with the win here, I think it immediately vaults us to the top precipice. We have all the eyeballs on us. We have three night primetime games in 4 weeks, possibly four if they give us with Louisville as well. I think this is the make or break point for Marcus. Not break, but this is the potential make point for Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish. I think this is the most important regular season game in modern Notre Dame history. Dylan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have several. I quoted that tweet of yours, disagreeing, but I think I could be right and wrong. So I said Clemson is from 2020 because Clemson was the number one ranked team. And yes, we could point to Trevor Lawrence being hurt and half their defense being hurt and somewhat discrediting the magnitude of that win. I would understand that. If I'm just looking at going into a game, though, that was a chance to knock off number one at home. and Ohio State just isn't number one. They're number six or something. Mm-hmm. That was the thing for me, was we haven't beaten a top five ranked team since whenever. We hadn't knocked off a number one team since whenever. So I think from just like a rankings matchup perspective, that was a bigger one. But I also understand, yeah, there was circumstances in that game that would make the win not as big as if we beat Ohio State. I would agree with that as well. My second thing I would say, because somebody pointed out the playoff games, I would exclude the postseason games from this conversation. I would say the BCS National Championship game would be number one. And I would say both playoff games, because you're in a de facto playoff game. Like, you, not even like, this is just straight up a playoff game. Like, there's no question about it. You win, you go to the national championship game. That's not necessarily the case with Ohio State. So I would say, excluding the playoffs, then yeah, it's either this or Clemson. The other thing I would ask you is, what do you consider modern Notre Dame history? Because that's something I was going to bring up, is this has been the biggest game since fill in the blank for you, if you think this is the biggest game in history. And I think most Notre Dame fans agree with you, because it is Ohio State. It's a blue blood program. You know, they'll point out we haven't beaten them since 1936, but we've only played like four times since then. So what is it for you that makes this the biggest game, and then biggest game since when?
That's a great question. I think it obviously has to be 93, Florida State.
You're going to put it past the Bush push for biggest game.
So here's the thing, is we were an 8-5 program, an 8-4 program perennial, however the fuck you would say that word, every year. But
and we had one loss going into that game too. It's exactly. Just that USC was number one. Yeah.
So that was a great game. That helped raise the profile. That was Charlie Weiss, correct? His first year at Notre Dame.
I don't know if it was his first year, but it was Charlie Weiss.
It was the Weiss era. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Like, we had Weiss, we had the coach, like, things were on the up and up for sure, but we weren't at a, you know, if you looked at the prior 5 years leading up to that game, Notre Dame was just a, like, again, we, you know, lost the identity from, you know, in those early 2000s, and we're kind of just, you know, since, what was it, 96, had basically been a shell of itself in terms of a program. So with the resurgence that we had, and a lot of credit does go to Brian Kelly, but if you look at 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22, and into this season, you know, that's five or six of the last years in a row that it's like, no, not, you know, last year was our worst year that we've had since 2017, and we went 8-4, and then, you know, 9-4 with a bowl game against an SEC opponent, and with a backup 5'10" quarterback that I think went like 4-13 for 16 yards this past weekend at Arizona State, just to put things into perspective for you. So, with the talent that we have, with the fact that there's been two recent playoff appearances where we competed in those games until about halftime, and then the depth of those elite programs that ultimately beat us really showed through in the second half and put us away, we showed that we could reach and be highly competitive, but we were still just a little bit away. There was still a little bit of juice that we needed. I think that with the recruiting that we've had since, we've gotten to ourselves to that point where we have that juice, and we have the coach, we have the program that we've been waiting for. And now, with, if you look at the last 5 years compared to, you know, other big games in the past, like the Bush push, or, you know, I was going through, like, you know, 15 or 16 Florida State, or, you know, the BCS national title game, or whatever it may be. It just feels like this is that flipping point where it's like, you know, we could potentially, you know, what does Justin Scott think when he sees this game, when he sees Notre Dame, if our defensive line is able to dominate in the trenches and really take out this Ohio State team and run the ball down their throats? And it's like, hey, Chicago kid that goes to a Catholic high school, do you really want to go to the middle of nowhere in Ohio, or do you want to stay closer to home to mama and play with the hottest coach in college football? Right, like, those are the implications that this has, where it's like, possible, is there a possible flip of a top 10 recruit in the country? Is there other recruits that are going to see this that are like, damn, like Notre Dame is legit. I had the wrong implications and thoughts about them. That's why I think it's so important. It's like, this is the opportunity for us to not only showcase our talent in the current year, but also look at the last 5 or 6 years of work, put it all together and say, you know, Notre Dame is on the ascendancy and this is your new top dog in college football. You're either in with us or get out of our way. And I think that's an opportunity for us with this game. And that's why I have such an emphasis on it.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So I got 3 points that I'm trying to hold on to so I don't lose them memory wise. So for the sake of the argument, we'll just say modern era is post Holtz. And this would be in for you the biggest game in the modern era, because the next biggest game would have been 93. I think that's totally valid. Even though I had disagreed at the tweet and picked the 2020 Clemson game, I did say in it that I could see this being a watershed moment, meaning for all the reasons you've said, this is the moment of validation. If Notre Dame wins this game, it could be the moment that switches the flip. The flip switches. Everything changes. It could be the moment of, we've taken that step. There it is. That's the step we've needed to take. And for that, there could be huge recruiting consequences, not just for anyone in particular. But if you think Marcus Freeman is recruiting super well right now, by the way, Notre Dame just landed 5-star quarterback Deuce Knight in the 2025 class, huge recruiting momentum. If you think Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman can recruit like that now, just wait until Notre Dame is considered the elite of college football, which could be as soon as Sunday, Saturday night. It could be. If Notre Dame goes out there and wins convincingly and puts together a good season where they're, you know, they're in the college football, you can't lose 4 of your next games. But if you go out and make the college football playoff after beating Ohio State, maybe win a playoff game, maybe 2. This will be the moment. This will be the moment that changes everything. So I agree with you. It has the biggest potential, I think, of any game in terms of what it means for the Notre Dame program. That's what I mean by that watershed moment. This could be it. And I think it could be. We'll get into that. But that's a great debate. And for the listeners at home, you know, send us your thoughts on Twitter at HorsemanPod. Is this the biggest game in modern Notre Dame era, a.k.a. post-Lou Holtz? So I think that's a great conversation, but are we ready to get into the game?
Take it away.
Well, it's Ohio State. We saw them last year. We led for 3 quarters last year with a first-time starting quarterback at the Horseshoe. We are now playing at home with a 6th-year quarterback who is in the Heisman contention race against a team that is worse than they were last year with a not first-time starting quarterback, but one of his first-time starting quarterback, not C.J. Stroud, not the same offensive line. The defense is pretty good so far. Not as much talent as they recruited at defensive line. They've recruited a lot of crazy, crazy recruits from that position. But it's still good. It's a good position group. It's a good defense. But not the same team. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Last year, I thought Notre Dame could win. And I predicted them to win, but close. This year, at the start of the year, I thought Notre Dame could win. After 4 weeks of seeing Notre Dame play and 3 weeks of seeing Ohio State play, I don't think this game's going to be close. That's a hot take. I know. Listen, I know. It's a hot take. This is where Steve and I's prediction game is going to differ this week. I don't think this is a close game. I'm going to stack these guys up with you in a minute, position by position. We'll talk about how we feel.
Yeah.
I just think there's so much negativity right now around Ohio State. They've lost twice to Michigan, which is an existential crisis for them. They don't like Ryan Day, but they do. It's a weird relationship they've got. And you could smell the fear on that fan base, the way they've been acting for a good season.
When you're backed into a corner, you start swinging wildly.
Yeah. And the line makes a lot of sense to have changed. Vegas is coming around to what we've known for a while. This Notre Dame team is legit. It is a legitimate force. And I think the Ohio State team is good. But this is the worst Ohio State team I think we'll see in many years of past performances. This is worse than I think any Meyer team since Meyer had established the program there. I think it's worse than previous Ryan Day teams. Does that take away from what's going to be a huge win this weekend if we win? No, it's still a huge, huge win. But this is Ohio State's most vulnerable, and they don't play as well on the road as they do at home. Plus, it's a Notre Dame night game, which is a terrifying nightmare for opponents, right? A night game at Notre Dame is different. It is a different environment. That's going to be a green game. There'll be lots of red, not as much as people think, but there'll be lots of red. It won't matter. It'll be a electric, electric atmosphere. I'm so excited for it, and I'm not even worried about it. I just think it, we've the eras have eclipsed. I think Ohio State is on the down. They won't plummet, but they're on the down, and I think Notre Dame is quite literally on the verge of being replacing them and being that team that is constantly in the college football playoff. I think we're that close. Steve, did I get you horny there or what?
Dude, nips are harder than diamond. I could cut diamonds with these things. Yeah, no, you're right. It's we saw I can't believe I'm going to compliment that scumbag program up north, but they gave us the blueprint last year. They were able to get to CJ Stroud and force two interceptions, and then they were able to run the ball down their throat. Donovan Edwards, 216 yards and two touchdowns. So I think that they're vulnerable. They're built to air it out, which is exactly what our greatest strength is. This defense is the no-fly zone. Clarence Lewis got starting time as a freshman, and he's our third corner, possibly even fourth corner after Jaden Mickey, a true sophomore, by the way. And Clarence Lewis is what, a fifth or sixth year senior?
Yeah, I think he's in his fifth year.
So he's seen a lot of snaps. He's seen a lot of football, and he's our third, potentially fourth cornerback on this defense. The safeties, I think, play decent enough, and there's a rotation of them, which is very valuable. And I think all of them have been stepping up in their own right whenever they play. Our defensive line has been getting a ton of pressure. They just haven't been getting home, but it's forcing. Kyle McCord is not a dual threat quarterback. He's going to be a little bit more on the flat-footed side of things, and we have really talented linebackers that are going to be able to contain. Whereas also get to the quarterback, and we have a blitz-happy defensive coordinator. We're going to put the pressure on. We're going to force them to make throws that they might necessarily not want to, and we know that there's one guy that they're going to zero in on, so you just double them. And then if
you even need to.
If you even need to. And the blueprint is there that you can run the ball down this team's throat. It is possible. You can beat them with the running game. At least that was done no less than five games ago for them. And do you think they got better from last year or worse? I think that they are worse from last year. So, the strengths kind of match up pretty well. Here's some food for thought, which is that Notre Dame has conceded only four sacks so far this entire year, but all four of those sacks did come against NC State, which is a very formidable defense, and that was on the road. But they went all out. Yeah, so that it is going to be a massive task for this offensive line to protect Hartman if they can. If Hartman is sacked less than two times in this game, I think we win. Whereas OSU has conceded three sacks on the season so far through three games, but they've played, the school of the blind, so it doesn't really matter. And their offensive line objectively is just not as solid as, what you would expect a powerhouse program to be. So I think there's certainly pressure to get out there and really put some pressure on them and not give Marvin Harrison Jr. the opportunity to, to explode up this field. I think they can keep him underneath, so to speak. And I think that works to our advantage. So yeah, I think there's honestly a ton of different things that work in our direction. Do I think it'll be a blowout? No, but everything validates your points though.
Let's go just quickly here. Sorry. I know I shouldn't promise the audience that, let's just go position groups, and I'll start favorably for Ohio State on the defense, which makes no sense to any Notre Dame fan living a year ago to hear that be said. But defensive line. I personally think it's close, but I'd probably lean Ohio State. I think they're just a little more proven than the Notre Dame defensive line. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
However, Devontae Jean-Baptiste had a hell of a game last week.
Absolutely. And he's going to make, I think, some Buckeyes regret, I don't know, not playing him more. He looks fantastic. Okay, linebackers. I think I'd give a slight edge to Notre Dame here with the play of J.D. Bertrand and the depth of having Snead basically be your fourth linebacker. Like, that's kind of crazy to me. But that's where I would lean. Would you agree, or do you kind of maybe prefer their linebackers?
No, definitely Notre Dame's.
Okay, and then let's say DBs as a group. Is that even worth asking?
I will favor Notre Dame, yep.
Yeah, even if Ohio State has a great secondary, that doesn't matter. Notre Dame is, statistically right now, the number one pass efficiency defense in the country. They're the best. It's locked down. Benjamin Morrison is phenomenal. Cam Hart as your number two corner makes no sense. Jaden Mickey as your three, and Clarence Lewis as your number four. That's ridiculous. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I know Michigan and Penn State have good secondaries too, but I think this is the best secondary Ohio State's going to play this year. So yeah, I'll take Notre Dame there. So defense, I think they're pretty close. I think Ohio State does have a really good defense, and I think our defense can be really good too. I would kind of call it a wash defensively. Now, I know these groups don't go up against each other, but the reason I'm doing this is I want to make a point on offense. So, Steve, offensive line, you taking ours or Ohio State's?
I'm taking the Irish.
By a quadrillion, I think. Ohio State's offensive line, fine. Not on the level of Notre Dame's. Definitely not with the tackles.
We have a top 10 overall pick coming.
Yes, and if Blake Fisher were to go to the draft, he could probably be drafted on the first two rounds on his talent alone. Yeah. And then the interior has been so solid this year. I love it. Big Notre Dame advantage. Running backs.
I will compliment Ohio State and say they do have some good backs, but you look at the work of Audric Estime, and the ponies galloping behind him. You know, our true freshman, Jeremiah Love, the fastest guy in the field, is the fourth running back, right? It almost feels like our running back staff is like the, what was it, the 2003 Hurricanes or 2001 Hurricanes? It right. Feels like that, dude. It's like, that's it. What it feels like, what we
just
have.
Hall of Famers up and it's down crazy. The depth chart. Well, I mean, listen, we lost two running backs this season. One is now a receiver and a damn good slot receiver at that in Chris Tyree.
Leading receiver on the team.
And the other one is in LSU, Logan Diggs, who was our all-purpose back. So this room, the fact that it's still probably the deepest in college football is nuts after losing two. And I'll agree with you. Like, Ohio State's got really good backs. Don't get me wrong. If you're a Buckeyes fan, I'm not dissing that. But I don't care how many stars Henderson was coming out of high school. It doesn't matter. Notre Dame's got more production there. They've got more depth there. And most importantly, with the offensive lines and considering how important that is for run production, it's Notre Dame by a large margin to me. It just is. Notre Dame's going to have a better run game. We saw that with Michigan. It's not different. The styles make fights whole trope is why I think this is a nightmare matchup for Ohio State, because Notre Dame can do everything Michigan did last year, which Notre Dame couldn't do last year. Notre Dame did not have the offensive line at the start of last season to bully them the way Michigan did. They do now. So they could do exactly what Michigan did, except they have a way better passing offense this year than Michigan did. I think it's a nightmare for Ohio State. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about receivers and tight ends. We'll just lump them in together.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we'll go with Ohio State, but don't disc. But again, this is a situation. The exact inverse of the running backs is the exact inverse of the Irish receivers. Of course, our guys are not as good as Marvin Harrison Jr., but we got some damn good wide receivers out there, and they are very evenly dispersed in terms of catches.
They're deep. That we're deep at wide receiver. Yeah.
Whereas he, I'm sorry to just real quick point is they basically focus on Ekbuna or however you would say it. Sorry if I mispronounced, and Marvin Harrison. That's the big one, too common combo. Everybody else gets not nearly enough looks in the passing game for that offense. So Notre Dame is much more balanced, but they have much more top-end talent.
Yeah, I agree. I won't even try to be a homer on that one. Ohio State has been the best place to get wide receivers. LSU's been up there too, but Ohio State recruits so well there. I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm trying to give you my real opinions on this because this is how I feel. Yeah, I'll take the receiver room. That's fine. But like you said, Steve, we got a good one of our own. Is there any other positions that I forgot? Oh, wait.
The most important one on the field.
And at this point, by the way, we've got Notre Dame up two of the three position groups on offense and two of the three position groups on defense. And where do we think the biggest advantage on the entire field is going into this game Saturday?
Quarterback.
Under center.
Sam quarterback.
I don't even know who their quarterback is at this point. I think it's McCord, but like, I don't care who your quarterback is. And I could have told you this in the offseason, which is why I didn't think Ohio State was that big of a problem this offseason, because they had quarterback issues and we didn't. And not only has that been true, it's been exaggerated so far. Their quarterback battle has been worse than they thought it would be. And I don't care how good he looked against Western Kentucky. Be honest with yourselves, Buckeyes fans. You're not feeling great about your quarterback room right now. And Sam Hartman's been way better than anyone's expected them to, although you and I have called this, but, you know, they're way better than people have expected. So that biggest gap on the field is at the most important position, and top to bottom, I think Notre Dame has a better roster than Ohio State. I'm not being a homer. I'm being straight up serious with you guys right now. I think we're going to blow them out. I think it's just a nightmare matchup, and I know Steve doesn't agree with that, and that's fine. Maybe we lose. We could lose. I'm not saying we can't. I'm saying I'd be really disappointed if we lose. I think we should win this game, and I think we should win this game by more than 7 points. So that's how I feel on that breakdown. What do you think?
I agree with you. Yeah, it's moved from could win to should win, as we've covered, and I think you're right. I definitely think that, you know, we are on the ascendancy and do have the opportunity to really cement ourselves as the college football elite. There's, you know, Clemson has fallen, Georgia is faltering, Alabama's faltering, Ohio State's faltering, Michigan is a terrible program that I hope melts through the earth's crust. You know, it just feels like there's the world is ours for the taking. This is 20 years of college football diehard fandom in the making for me. And for a lot of people, it's much more than 20 years. This is what we've been waiting for. And I think that Marcus Freeman is that dude that he's going to go out and he's going to inspire his guys to get it. So I'm ready for a score prediction. I'm going to probably be a little bit tighter than yours, but I don't think it's much of a spoiler to think that I am taking the Notre Dame Fighting Irish to win this game. But Dylan, what's your score?
Okay. I have it 34-17, Notre Dame, a 17-point victory. However, I don't think the game will be as close as that scoreline. I think it'll be not really a close game. And I think the reason I won't go higher is because I don't see us scoring 5 touchdowns plus field goals on Ohio State's defense. I just think the clock will run out before that. And I think they'll score late. But to be honest with you, I think we're going to control the game start to finish.
My man, I had the score I'm about to tell you written down for 3 weeks now. When we were talking, going back and forth, I swear to God, I almost changed my score prediction to 34-17. But I have it as 31-21, Notre Dame.
That's good. I'll take that. I mean, I'll take anything. I'll just take a result. But
I'll take 2-0. I'll take 3-2. I don't care. Just win.
Right. I'll take an Iowa versus Wisconsin in the heat of November scoreline. I'm excited for this one, guys. I think this is going to be dynamic, electric. If you're going to South Bend, man, I wish I was you this week. What a lucky time. We're in all green, too. I cannot wait to see. If we win that game in those jerseys, We got to go back. We got to go back to them. We got to go as the playoffs, at least, right?
Yeah. This is it. This is the moment. This is the moment that Notre Dame football starts one of three of the next five national championships.
That's very conservative of you, Steve, given your personality, to pick three of five. I would expect you to take 6 in 5 years.
I fucking wish, brother. In the next 5 years, if Notre Dame wins this game, we are winning three of the next five national championships. That's the way that my brain works, because I am forever a diehard fan of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They're going to go, they're going to fight, they're going to win. Can't wait. Saturday night, under the lights, NBC, 7:30 p.m. Be there or be square. I don't know. I got a grin ear to ear, Dylan. Can't wait for this week to start. Go Irish. Feels like 88. That's everything that I have to say, but I'll let you close us out, man.
I have a warning. It's a warning to Ohio State fans. If you think that for well over a year now, you could get away with not just talking shit, but like disrespectful, never pretended we were an 8-4 team that wouldn't even give you a chance, and even after beating you for three quarters in Ohio State, still acting like we're not even good enough to be on the same field as you. If you thought you can get away with that, and just your aggressive, toxic, like you make Twitter unbearable, and that's saying something for Twitter, okay? If you Ohio State fans think you're going to get away with that without receipts from this podcast if we win, listen, I don't know if we'll win for sure, and maybe we'll lose, but if we win, my God,
bookmark,
we are going to be the most insufferable people, because you Ohio State fans, not all of you, I have some friends that are in the Ohio State fan base that are fine people, but let's be honest,
like Trump right now. There's very fine people on both sides.
Yeah. I'm trying to be political here, like neutral, sound like a politician. But let's be honest. Of all fan bases, we all got our bad eggs, but you've got more bad eggs, and they're more aggressive and angry and dumb compared to the rest of them. You're going to get it. You're going to get it if we win. So I'm just dropping that warning now. I hope for the best. And if you haven't talked shit to us, you have nothing to fear. It's only the people that have been so disrespectful that will get it. But at the end of the day, we got to win that football game. And I just want to leave on some statistics, Steve. Who's got more national championships?
Notre Dame.
Heismans are tied. But who's got more, I don't know, draft picks?
Notre Dame.
Pro Football Hall of Famers.
The University of Notre Dame.
College Football Hall of Famers.
The University of Notre Dame.
All Americans.
In Notre Dame.
It seems like any statistic that has ever mattered in the history of college football favors Notre Dame. So if you're an Ohio State fan that thinks you're even remotely on our level as a program historically, I've got something else for you. Because you see, Notre Dame's drought since 1988 has been not as long as your drought was in the 60s when you won your national championship in 2002. This program is bigger than you. We're better than you. And on Saturday night, we're going to prove it, because I am sick of the shit talking we get from you guys. Take a back seat. The Midwest, the North, the country is ours. Go Irish. Beat the nuts.